your host, Ben Korn.
And some of our counterparts have been giving Chris some shit about some of his drafts because they don't think that they're...
And Chris Welter.
The same players
about
you recommended.
My pick. So you want to get right into this right now?
No, I don't want to get into it right now. Right. I'm trying to tell people it's coming up later.
All right.
So we're going to get into that. And I'm really excited about it.
And now, Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
That's me, Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Thank you once again. We are now the first week in of the Major League Baseball season. This is episode number 7. We're recording this on April 11th. So there might be some commentary that we make today that, who knows, could get crazy by the time you listen to the show. So just keep in mind, this is recorded on Saturday, April 11th. Chris Welter is not in studio. Chris, can you hear me?
I'm a mile high, but I can hear you, buddy.
Woo! I'm pretty much at ground level here in Massachusetts. Big Chris Welter is hanging out, I believe it's spring training in Colorado?
No, they're playing, buddy. We are on, I think today is opening day at Colorado Rocky Stadium here.
Yeah, that was yesterday, the Friday the 10th. So oh. You can't get away with that one. Colorado Rockies are doing good, though, so make sure you go see yourself a game while you're out there. I'll tell you what, we have a busy show to get to. There is a ton of action going on in the fantasy world. There's a ton of guys in the top 10 that weren't even on people's roster a week ago. Adrian Gonzalez is tearing things up. We got to get to tracking Chris because actually Chris gave us some good names that that did very well in Anthony DeSclafani and Michael Taylor.
Yes!
We'll get into some guys that kind of surprised us. DJ LeMahieu from the Colorado Rockies where Chris is hanging out. Jed Lowry's actually done very well. Kendrys Morales is gotten back on the bandwagon. So stick with us. We're going to talk about our week one fantasy thoughts. We'll go into maybe some streaming pitchers, maybe some picks of the week, and then even producer Rick will join us and give his insight on Anthony Gose. So without further ado, let's get to the news.
Are you guys ready for the news with Chris Welter? Well, here it is. Take it away, Chris.
The Padres continued their aggressive team building by acquiring the best closer in baseball, Craig Kimbrel. This is great news for Kimbrel owners as he moves to a better ballpark and a team destined for many more save opportunities. Clay Buchholz opened the season in style, going 7 innings, striking out 9, and only allowing 4 base runners. The Red Sox hope he can return to his 2013 Cy Young form. The Blue Jays closer remains an open competition and should be monitored closely. Brett Cecil was removed from the closer role due to decreased velocity, and Miguel Castro looks to receive save chances for the time being. Joe Nathan hit the DL this week, giving way to Joaquin Soria to take over as the Tigers' closer. Soria is likely to give Nathan some serious competition as closer for the rest of the season.
Thank you, Chris. That is some very interesting news. I think the most interesting, of course, is Craig Kimbrel. I remember hearing this news when it was about the time we got done with our podcast last week. Kimbrel was announced that he was going to the Padres, and immediately I regretted the fact that I didn't draft him. I think this is huge news for fantasy owners of Craig Kimbrel. Just like you said, better ballpark, better team, and I mean, so far you haven't seen the dividends as the Padres have struggled, but I mean, this is huge for Craig Kimbrel owners.
Yeah, and it's pretty rare to see a closer get moved, especially on opening day. You almost wonder if the Padres just wanted a little publicity for their trade. But yeah, it's definitely going to help Kimbrel. You know, on the Atlanta Braves, they're one of the worst teams in baseball, if you ask me. So they're not going to get a lot of saves. So moving to the Padres, only an uptick in value for Kimbrel. But I don't know. I don't want to overreact to it because he's still the best closer in baseball. It doesn't change that. So, you know, what's he really going to get? Maybe 5 more saves? So I don't think it changes his value that much, but it definitely makes you feel good if you're a Kimbrel owner.
In terms of the Atlanta Braves, their offense has actually been surprisingly good, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's maybe just a short sample size here, but I don't see that lasting. But sure, you got Freddie Freeman. Nick Markakis looks great. But besides that, I don't know if I want to own anybody on that team, frankly. So, although one curious thing is in return for Craig Kimbrell, Matt Whistler, a young prospect, went to the Atlanta Braves, and he is major league ready. So he really might, he might be pitching in a month or two in the major leagues, and he's somebody I would keep an eye on.
What do you think about the Colorado Rockies' closing position? Adam Ottavino is the setup guy. They've already had one blown save this week. Do you see anything coming from the Colorado Rockies in terms of Ottavino becoming that save guy in the ninth?
Yeah, I've picked him up in a couple leagues already. He's a really nice strikeout guy. He throws some heat, and the Rockies seem to really like him. I mean, LaTroy Hawkins is 41. He's probably the riskiest closer out there of all the teams in the majors. So a change could certainly happen. My only worry is that if the Rockies are terrible, which we kind of expect them to be because their starting pitching is bad, they might not want to change closer. They might just want to stick with LaTroy Hawkins and let him retire on a high note. So it's something to monitor. But unless the Rockies start winning, I don't think they're going to make that change to Ottavino.
Clay Buchholz, just truly amazing effort in that opening day. I still just don't know if I'm buying in on Clay Buchholz yet. I mean, we've seen him last year was horrendous. 2013 spent half the season as one of the best pitchers in the Major League Baseball. Do we wait and see with this guy and just keep starting him and hope for the best?
Yeah, I'm all in on Clay Buchholz. I think there's a reason the Red Sox didn't trade too heavily for starting pitching is because they had a feeling that they had a potential Cy Young candidate here. I don't know if I expect him to get the Cy Young, but he could certainly be a solid number two fantasy starter for you. You know, like you said, he was a Cy Young candidate in 2013 and then basically was injured the rest of that season and then most of 2014. So he really could be a nice sneaky grab. I know I got him in the last round of our fantasy draft. So if he's out there on waivers, you got to go pick him up.
The player profile on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Michael Taylor was a relatively unknown prospect until bursting onto the scene in 2014. He started this season as MLB.com's 43rd ranked prospect after hitting .313 with 22 home runs and 34 stolen bases in just 441 plate appearances last season. He was slated to be a bench player for the crowded Nationals outfield until Denard Span hit the DL. Taylor will hit leadoff until Span returns and will be a very valuable fantasy player if he continues a 10% or better walk rate.
This is producer Rick, and you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
We continue here on Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Today is April 11th, so our insight comes from that day, Saturday, April 11th. Chris Welter is out in Colorado. No, he's not there for spring training, but maybe he'll catch a game because the Colorado Rockies pitching has been amazing so far. And by amazing, I mean workable to the point where the Colorado Rockies are now 4-0. What's your thoughts right now on this Rockies team, Chris? I mean, because I talked to Mike from Denver the other day, and he is getting pretty hammed up about his Big Dick he's a fan of.
Yeah, I'm out here scouting the Rockies, and every single one of them looks hot, including that Big Dick. He's a hot Big Dick. I wouldn't get too amped up about the pitching there. I know Kyle Kendricks had a really nice outing, but in general, any pitcher in the Colorado air is going to struggle. So I have a feeling that's just a small sample size. So I wouldn't go hit the waivers and pick up all those Rocky pitchers. That'll hurt you.
I mean, personally, I've been a fan of Tyler Matzek. He pitched last night and didn't pitch well, but considering it was in Colorado and they only allowed one run to the Chicago Cubs, I was impressed. He's one of those sneaky guys, and we talk about streaming a lot. Tyler Matzek, for whatever reason, I've now started him in my daily leagues almost every time that he pitches in Colorado, and for whatever reason, it never lets me down. So kind of keep that Tyler Matzek name on your radar. And Kendrick, I've always been a fan of him, even when he was on the Phillies, so I think he's got potential. But somebody like Nolan Arenado. Now, this is a guy, I think this is his coming out year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, everyone projected him to really break out this season, so you get a little nervous. But, man, he looks great. And when you're surrounded by all those great hitters, Tulo, Cargo, You know, Willian Rosario, Justin Morneau, you know, he's just one of many there, so he can almost blend into the crowd. But yeah, Nolan Arenado really has top 20 potential. Like, he could get there, and he looks like he might do it this season.
Yeah, those guys around him, it's kind of ridiculous what Walt Weiss and the Colorado Rockies have for offense right now. When they take Charlie Blackmon out, they put Corey Dickerson as leadoff, and then it's Corey Dickerson, Troy Tulowitzki, Nolan Arenado, Gonzalez. I mean, they're gonna probably lead the league in scoring once again this year. Red Sox pitching staff, it seems like they might be better than we thought.
Yeah, we're starting to see some positive signs. I mean, obviously Buchholz, we talked about him at the top of the show. He pitched a stellar performance, looked like he's back to his 2013 levels. But then you start to look at some of the other staff, and you wonder, maybe the Red Sox are a little bit smarter than the rest of us. You know, they just signed Rick Porcello to a massive contract, 4 years, $80 million. That's $20 million a year. That's one of the better paid pitchers in the league. Now, most people didn't think he deserved that, but he's a young guy. He's only 26 years old, so he can grow and he can get better. And then obviously his first start here this season was very positive. He went six innings, only gave up three runs, you know, four strikeouts. So Rick Porcello really could take a step forward and make that Red Sox rotation even better. And then also Wade Miley, who I've touted in the past, he didn't end up with the results we wanted, but he showed all the signs of positivity from last season. He struck out a bunch of batters. He showed good control in his start just a couple days ago. So I still love Wade Miley as well. You know, and all of a sudden, if Buchholz pitches like an ace, you know, that rotation becomes pretty dominant.
Yeah, and we're not even mentioning Justin Masterson, who had a tough spring but pitched really well and got them game three victory. So that pitching staff in general, keep an eye on them. You know, I don't feel like I can trust any of them yet, but the signs are at least pointing in the right direction. What's your thoughts on?
It's interesting. One more note. It's interesting. The Red Sox management came out and basically said there's no chance they're giving up Mookie Betts or Blake Sweetheart for Cole Hamels. I don't think they want Cole Hamels anymore unless they get an injury. They seem confident in their staff.
What's your thoughts on your boy Jose Iglesias going over to Detroit and all of a sudden learning how to hit?
Yeah, you know, I think we need to be careful and not overreact here after three games.
I'm all about overreacting, Chris.
I can tell you're getting pretty amped on these players. Don't drop your stars yet there, Ben.
I just dropped Adrian Beltre for Iglesias.
Well, all right. We could have worked out a trade maybe there, but all right. Yeah, I don't know. Iglesias did this a couple years ago where he really hit for good average. And he might do that again, but that's all he's given you. You know, he doesn't hit home runs. He barely steals bases. So an empty high average really won't help your team that much. So, you know, maybe if you get an injury, he's a good plug-in at shortstop, but that's all I'd consider him as.
Which team so far do you think has been the most dominant of all the Major League Baseball teams? Because I would venture to say it's the Detroit Tigers, even though Cabrera has not turned it on yet.
Yeah, the Tigers do look great. I mean, David Price is such a beast. And it's funny, yeah, Miguel Cabrera hasn't hit. Neither is Victor Martinez, by the way. So they're kind of doing it with the back end with their J.D. Martinez looks really good. Yoenis Cespedes is my boy. He looks solid. I think he went 3-for-5 last night. You know, so, yeah, they could just be a really dominant team. And, frankly, I'd want anybody in that lineup because you're just going to get counting stats. They probably will score the most runs in the majors this year.
Should we put a bet down right now as to who scores more runs, the Rockies or the Tigers? Are you betting on the Tigers?
Oh, I would take the Tigers all the way. I love the Rockies, but they're going to get hurt. You're just waiting for Tulo and Cargo to go down.
Bet a six-pack?
All right, bud. Six-pack of good beer. I don't want any of that crap you drink sometimes.
I do love a good Coors Light.
No, I'm out here in Colorado. They got good beer. They got great IPAs. That's what I want. I want some high-end six-packs. So let's do it. I'll put a wager down.
I mean, you realize that you're probably going to go to the Coors Brewery while you're out there.
No. I'll go to the small brew pubs.
New Belgium up in Fort Collins.
Yeah, a little Fat Tire. That never hurts.
Going back to baseball.
Whoa! Let's settle our bet here. We need a virtual handshake. Don't be trying to skimp out on this bet that you just.
I'm getting nervous now. I've seen how well the Detroit Tigers are hitting.
I know you brought it up. That's why it's a funny bet. But hey, I'll take Detroit Tigers most runs on the season.
All right, Fat Tire six pack.
And you'll take
the Colorado Rockies.
Don't skimp out on this.
Sorry, the Colorado Rockies.
Let's roll. It's a long bet. We got a long time to figure
out. And finishing in a not too distant third is the Cincinnati Reds fan.
Yeah, you must be amped over there, huh? Votto's just looking all spry. He's running all over the field, hitting dingers left and right.
Well, I think it's interesting. You look at the top four guys that are playing well or have the most RBIs in the league. You got Gonzalez number one, Votto number two. Actually, I think Votto's number one, Gonzalez number two, and then Dickerson. And then Jake Lamb from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
It's like, who would have thought those four guys would be on the top of the list?
Right. Well, Votto's a good bet, although he's hitting second. So, oddly enough, he really shouldn't be getting as many RBIs. I wouldn't count on that going forward. But in general, Votto, he looks like a stud right now. And if you drafted him, you should be pumped. Even Jay Bruce looks a lot better. He had a really down year last season. But he's already got a home run. He's taken some walks. So I can see Jay Bruce having a big bounce back season here, too.
Yeah, I think if for those people that were starting to doubt the Cincinnati Reds, the signs that the Reds fans were looking for, which was people like Todd Frazier, Joey Votto, Jay Bruce, having those, you know, what they expect from those guys beginnings to the year has happened. And now all of a sudden, you know, maybe they'll find some money to pay somebody like Johnny Cueto if they can continue this.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on them paying Johnny Cueto, but for this season, I'd be very amped. Yeah, you mentioned Todd Frazier. He's a great guy to call out here, personally, because he's from my neighboring hometown in the great state of New Jersey. But yeah, everyone sort of doubted his breakout season last year, but here he is with two home runs and five RBIs already. He has great power, so I think if you drafted him, he's going to give you what you expected. That's Todd Frazier.
And you were really big on Pedro Alvarez. Nobody else was. He's kind of somebody that you may have called correctly.
Oh, yeah. Alvarez looks so good. We talked about it before, but it really just came down to his sort of switching from third base to first base last season, and it definitely got in his head. But he started out very hot this year. He's got two home runs already. He's hitting .357. He could hit 40 home runs. He could lead the league in home runs this year. And at third base eligibility, that's really valuable. So somehow, if you're in a shallow league and Pedro is not owned, go get him immediately or trade for him. I don't care. Pay a high price for Pedro Alvarez. You won't regret it.
Well, I was going to say a lot of people would probably give it to you for not what he's worth, just because they don't know the name. It's not a household name yet.
Yeah, you know, people might think they're selling high on Alvarez after a hot first week, but I think you will still get a lot of value if you go get him right now.
And maybe our last week one fantasy thoughts, the pace of play. There's been kind of a couple funny actions being done by players and players receiving warnings. What do you make of all this action?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the announcers love to talk about it. But what I'm wondering is, how is this going to affect people's approach to the game? I don't know if you saw Adrian Beltre, but he had a very comical routine where he sort of forgot about it. He forgot about the pace play rules, and then his bench started yelling at him to get back in the box. And it was almost like a show out there. It was a little piece of entertainment. And then I think he struck out immediately because he was completely thrown off of his game. So I just wonder, is this going to start getting into people's heads? You know, are people going to start slumping because they're trying to play faster? Also, you know, you saw Clay Buchholz received like an official warning from the MLB, whatever the hell that is. So now I'm a little worried when he pitches tomorrow. Is that going to be in the back of his mind? Is he going to be speeding up and maybe not thinking through the mental approach to his game? So not much to do about it with fantasy advice. It's just sort of something to keep an eye on. If you hear somebody got three warnings in a week, you might want to be a little worried about that player.
See, I think I would be a little bit more worried about somebody like Clay Buchholz. He seems like his head game is not completely all there, where if all of a sudden he had to speed up, he might get thrown off a bit. Adrian Beltre, some of the hitters, I think they'll be just fine.
Are you ready for some insight? Here's producer Rick.
Hold on now. Who is this Anthony Goes guy? Some no-name outfielder from the Blue Jays who all of a sudden is a beast for the Tigers? After a nice trade package sending him from Toronto to Detroit for second baseman Devin Travis, he seems to be pretty happy in the old Motor City. He's been on a tear so far, batting a studly .471, 4 ribs, and 8 hits on the season. We're talking about a guy here with a career average of .241, so now he's on pace for like 500? I know it's early in the season, but with someone hitting like this and owned in only 24% of leagues, he's a MPFA. Must pick up free agent.
It's Chris Welter. Don't tell Ben, but I took over Fantasy Baseball Weekly online. For the latest news and streaming pitchers, hit us up on Twitter at @FantasyBBWeekly. Now, let's get back to the show.
Chris is out in Colorado because he thought spring training was still going on, but yet he's not. There's no spring training.
That's right. I think he did think that, and he's a busy guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Considering I'm the producer, he travels more than me.
He's a ridiculous man.
I just want to say, Ben, the studio looks beautiful, by the way.
Thank you so much. I love what you guys did to it. Yeah, I added this lamp.
Yeah, no, the lamp's great. The mics are great. The interns have been fantastic.
Well, I'm glad they've treated you well.
Yeah, no, I loved the greeting, loved the bacon.
Yeah, that was a nice touch, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, beautiful job across the board.
All right, we take a look at week one of fantasy baseball, the Major League Baseball. What was your biggest impression that you saw from the first week?
Listen, I'm less worried about Adrian Gonzalez. Let's just talk about how terrible Yasiel Puig is. This guy is supposed to be some sort of beast power hitter, and he's supposed to have calmed down. He sucks, man. I know it's the first week. He sucks, though. Come on, man.
Do you think this is going to be something to come for Yasiel Puig? Are we gonna see a resurgence from him, or is he just completely suck?
I mean, he's on my fantasy team, so I hope so.
Let's hope so.
Jesus Christ. I mean, he's supposed to be some young gun. You got this old-ass Adrian Gonzalez who couldn't do shit with the Red Sox,
right.
But now he's going to go to the Dodgers and hit 5 dingers.
I mean, he feels more at home in L.A., I think.
One other thought, man, no Derek Jeter, great Red Sox-Yankees game last night, right?
Because there was no Derek Jeter.
Correct,
okay,
correct.
That's what I thought.
Correct. Great guy, hat goes off to him, but Yankees were putting up a fight last night.
What do you think about old Hanley Ramirez coming over from the Dodgers and playing pretty well?
I got to say, there's going to be some unique nickname for Ortiz, Hanley, and Pablo that's got to happen because they just sit next to each other, they're in the lineup next to each other. They're probably talking Spanish with each other the whole time.
The three amigos.
Is that already it?
Yeah, I think I just came up with that.
Wow, breaking news here on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
I mean, anytime you can get Pablo Sandoval on a horse, I think that could make things look pretty good.
Heck of a game, though. Sox-Yankees are going to have a good run this season. And, you know, looking forward to it.
Is there a guy on your radar right now that that maybe nobody else knows about that you're looking to pick up in your fantasy league?
You know who I'm a big fan of on the low?
Yeah.
Found this off Big Chris's tracker. This guy, Josh Reddick.
Oh, Josh Reddick, former Red Sox as well.
Correct.
And you realize he hasn't played yet, though.
Well, he's on the list, though. He's on the list.
I mean, see, tracking Chris. We got to do it because he's giving us the right answers. I mean, we'll get into it later, but Chris's tracker came to be very fruitful for those that listened last week.
Listen, I think Josh Reddick's one of those guys. You know when there's a party and someone comes late but they make the party? I think that's going to be Josh Reddick this year.
Hey, guys, it's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
So producer Rick just said that he's saying that his hidden guy is one of your boys, Josh Reddick, from your tracker. Did he actually get that from your tracker, Chris?
I mean, that's my deep tracker. I think you called him out correctly that he hasn't played yet this season, so I don't know. But he is due back in a couple days here, so I know he's looking good in high A Stockton right now in the minors, so. Josh Reddick is someone to keep your eye on. I don't know that I'd rush out and pick him up, though.
Yeah, Producer Rick's kind of a wild card. I don't even know how he found that deep track. I thought that's the one that you kind of keep close to the chest.
Well, I'm wondering if Big Rick has his own tracker that he's not telling us about.
And he's just claiming that it's a tracking, Chris?
Yeah, he doesn't want to spill the beans that he does his own tracking, maybe.
Weird guy, that producer, but I appreciate him coming in and spending a little bit of time with us. But now we get the real man, Chris Welter, telling us who's kind of on your radar for player pickups. And I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of guys that have done really well in this first week, and maybe you can help us decide if he's somebody that we should take seriously or if it was just kind of a hot week.
No, that's a good call, because you can really hurt yourself in this week by overreacting to players. Because again, we've had 4 days here, so we can't assume that we know everything about a player from 4 days. But let's riff through a list here, Ben.
Well, I know we'll get into your tracking Chris a little bit from last week. Two guys that were on the tracking Chris from last week. You got Michael Taylor, 394, a home run, 3 runs and an RBI. I think he might be somebody to keep an eye on. Is he somebody that people should be picking up?
Everybody in all leagues should be rushing to the waiver wire to get him. From what I see, he's only 7% owned. That's a joke. He should be in the 90% owned right now. Granted, he might not be a starter come 4 or 5 weeks from now, but he could win you some matchups right now. So go get Michael Taylor.
But I think the way I look at that is that at least in a month from now, you'll have a better idea of if you need to stream pitchers and trade him for a pitcher, or if you need a third baseman. So it's like he buys you about a month to figure out your team a little bit.
Yeah, and hey, you never know. They have Jason Worth coming back from injury and Denard Span coming back from injury. Bryce Harper loves to get hurt. That's his MO. So Michael Taylor is the backup for all of them. He could easily work his way into a full-time spot for the whole season.
And keep in mind, there's two Michael Taylors on the waiver wire. There's a Michael Taylor for the Chicago White Sox. Don't pick up that guy. Pick up the Michael Taylor that's on the Washington Nationals.
Yes, I think Yahoo lists it as Michael A. Taylor.
Yes, so pick that one up. I know you love this guy, Kendrys Morales. He started off pretty hot this year.
Oh, he's looking great. He hit his first home run of the season last night. We talked about him in previous shows. He just had a rough season last year because he didn't play half the year. He missed the spring training. But this season, he's on the Royals. He had a full spring training, and he looks ready to roll. You know, he's not only hitting for average and home runs right now, but he has 3 walks. So he's going to help your OPS or an on-base percentage leagues. He's going to help you there. So I love Kendrys Morales. I think he's batting third or fourth in that lineup. You know, he's going to get runs. He's going to be a run producer. He's another guy. Yahoo has him as, 6% owned? He should be owned in 80 or 90% of leagues. Go pick him up right now.
Jed Lowry, back with the Houston Astros. Of our list, this guy is the most owned at 11%. But it seems like he's kind of figuring things out. Kind of a funny story is I think it was like the first game of the year, second game of the year, Jed Lowry set some sort of record by having 4 strikeouts and 12 pitches, meaning that he literally had 3 strikes and a strikeout each time that he went up to bat. But if you take that one game out of the equation, he's had a pretty nice first 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, that is a wild strikeout stat. I don't think I've heard someone strike out that aggressively. But, I love Jed Lowry this year. He really broke out when he was in Houston a couple years back with power. And suddenly he's back in Houston, and look what we're seeing. We're seeing more power again. He's got 2 home runs already this season. He's hitting over 300. He's another guy. Yeah, you got to go get him. Pick him up. He could be a great middle infielder for you, or even maybe your starting shortstop.
And Kevin Jepsen, only 2% owned. I don't think Kevin Jepsen's on my radar.
Well, yeah, he's tricky. He's more valuable in holds leagues, but he definitely looks to be Tampa Bay's main setup guy. And also, Brad Boxberger is the closer, but I don't think they would be upset if they had to switch him out of that role. Boxberger is a little bit better on the matchup play, so... I could see Jepsen getting some saves here at some point in the season, even.
And a couple of the names that are around 5 to 7% owned, DJ LeMahieu, batting eighth in the Colorado Rockies lineup, but just batting amazing right now as he's nearing about 500. I think he's got five RBIs already. I mean, that Rockies lineup is killing it. Mark Canha, he's going to be somebody that's going to lose time once Josh Reddick comes back on Sunday. But, I mean, killing it right now in the Yahoo rankings. He's number five in the top 10. So you may not know that name right now, but keep your eye on Mark Canha. He might lose some time at the plate, but he's definitely somebody that is feeling it. And Kevin Kiermaier on the Tampa Bay Rays, he's keeping that offense afloat right now. So he might be somebody that you might want to pick up.
Yeah, of those guys, I think LeMahieu is the most exciting. Particularly because he plays second base, it's just a harder position to fill. But also, just being a Rocky, he's going to get tons of counting stats. He's going to get runs and RBIs, and he looks like he hit for average. So he could be a great plug and play or a backup second baseman for sure.
Yeah, and DJ had a nice year last year, so it's not like he's doing this for the first time ever. This is kind of par for the course for DJ. I wrote down a couple guys that that you should be trading for right now because the owners of these guys might be ready to give them up and you could get a great deal. Carlos Gomez for the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, the Brewers in general, their offense has just taken a trip to the bathroom. Carlos Gomez is batting first, and he's batting .176. No home runs, no steals at the top of the order. Jonathan Lucroy right behind him can't seem to get anything done. Ryan Braun's been out for half the games. What's your thoughts on Carlos Gomez? Is he going to get out of this funk?
Right, like as you said, he's been dropping deuces left and right here this year. I think he will get out of this funk. They need to take him out of the leadoff spot. He's a run producer. He should be batting third, and it's clearly messing with his head because you know maybe he's trying to pitch or he's trying to hit for contact more. I don't know if he's changing his approach because as the leadoff guy, but my hope is they drop him down to third in the order and then he'll really take off. But either way, he's a stud. He'll bounce back. So, yeah, if you can get Carlos Gomez on the cheap, then good for you.
Jose Altuve has started off. This is the batting leader from last year. Started off .125, has two steals, and one of those steals turned into a game winner for the Astros. But Altuve really struggling.
Yeah, he'll bounce back as well. Frankly, all of the Houston Astros are struggling right now. Well, all the batters. Chris Carter has been just swinging and missing at everything. George Springer is struggling. So I think it's more of a lineup problem.
And how much is that? How much does that relate to the Cleveland Indians pitching staff?
Yeah, well, that doesn't help to play those guys who just looks like they have some special sauce or they're using spitballs and getting away with it. I don't know. But, yeah, anyone facing the Indians is going to struggle, especially, you know, the Astros are just a strikeout team. So that could have contributed, but I'd look for all those Astro hitters to bounce back pretty soon.
George Springer, .167. He hasn't hit it deep yet. Do we think that this might be a sign of things to come?
No, he'll be just fine. If you remember, he did this last season when he first came up from the minors. I think he had about a 3-week stretch where he hit literally under 200 under the Mendoza line. He's always going to strike out like crazy. But then after that 3-week stretch, he hit something like 15 home runs in 3 weeks. So I think George Springer is just the type of streaky player that you have to monitor and take the ups with the downs because that's just the way he's going to play.
Some guys that are really killing it. The Kansas City Royals in general are playing really well. Lorenzo Cain kind of showed his stock in the World Series and kept it going, batting .438, 6 RBIs, 5 runs. He's definitely somebody that you should be afraid if you're playing in fantasy, and if you have the ability to make a trade for him, maybe it's not the right time because he's playing so well, but you should definitely put him on your watch list.
Yeah, you know, I'm just not a big fan of Cain. He's sort of a perennial guy for breakout that everyone's just waiting for. And granted, he did it during the playoffs last season, but I think that tends to overhype players. Look, maybe he does it. You know, I'm not buying it, but you certainly can't argue with the numbers he's put up so far. So if you want him, go get him. But I'm not jumping on board for Lorenzo Cain yet.
and some other guys that are killing it. We talk about Anthony Gose in the Producer Rick segment. He's having somewhat of a breakout first four or five games. Joey Votto back where we thought he would be at 412, three home runs, eight RBI already. And most of those have been game winners. So as a Cincinnati Reds guy, it's nice to have Joey Votto playing up to par. And Jose Iglesias, two stolen bases, batting .600. We don't know if we'll see that again, but he's killing it right now.
Hey, Canadians are clutch, bro. Canadians are clutch.
I mean, I've been to Montreal, and they didn't like the fact that I wasn't willing to speak French. So me and the Canadians are not doing too well right now.
Well, not the French Canadians. They kind of suck.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you agree with me on that. Rookie pitchers. Sometimes I get a little bit too excited about these rookie pitchers. I just had Taiwan Walker blow up on me. Not very happy about that. I know producer Rick had Kendall Graveman blow up on him. What? How should we play these rookies?
I think you just got to remember that they are rookies. One start does not mean much. The main thing for rookie pitchers is they need to quickly adjust because the hitters are going to start figuring them out. They're going to watch the tape and they're going to sort of figure out how those pitchers like to throw, and then they're going to have to adjust. So I just wouldn't get too worked up. Taiwan Walker, really, he could be a stud. Don't get too worried about him. It could be nerves, too. Kendall Graveman, though, I worry about him a little bit. He got so hyped up because Billy Beane bought into him. But frankly, he doesn't have much of a track record to back up. He's not a highly touted prospect. So if you have Graveman, hold on to him, but don't be afraid to let him go for something better. Taiwan Walker, on the other hand, don't get worried at all. He's going to be fine.
It's the Fantasy Game of the Week.
This week's Fantasy Game of the Week is the New York Mets versus Philadelphia Phillies at Citi Field in New York on April 13th. Jacob deGrom takes the mound for the Mets. He pitched well in his last outing against the Nationals, striking out six and while only giving up two runs, but came up with a loss as Jordan Zimmermann was a run better. Aaron Harang takes the mound for the Phillies. He was stellar in his debut, striking out eight with no runs and only two hits. Aaron Harang seems to be a early season gem for those fantasy owners. The Phillies appear to be overachieving at 2-2, while the Mets are happy to be at 2-2 after a tough series with the Nationals. Two teams looking to make a name for themselves in the National League. Mets, Phillies, 105 start on Monday, April 13th. All right, the time that we've all been waiting for. This is the segment where we track Chris. There was a little bit of dispute during the draft of fantasy baseball where everyone in the draft had gotten some good advice from Chris Welter, but Chris Welter decided not to draft his own players that he had recommended. At least that's how it seemed during the draft. So since then, we've been doing this segment called Tracking Chris so that he can prove to you that he is giving you good advice. It may just not be the best advice. And the two guys that he gave us for last week was Michael Taylor on the Washington Nationals, and he continues to be full throttle on Michael Taylor as Michael Taylor went 294, hit a home run, scored three runs, and got one RBI. For a bench player that you can pick up for that week, I think we have to give Tracking Chris Welter an A for Michael Taylor. Nice work with that one. And then Anthony DeSclafani, the Cincinnati Reds pitcher, a nice rookie, pitched well, allowed five hits, two earned runs, did get a quality start, but he did not get people a win. So we're going to have to give Chris a C-plus for his Anthony DeSclafani. Chris, what's your thoughts on that first week of picks? Did you think that you can do better this week?
Oh, I can always do better, but you're going to rip me for not getting a win? That's the most random stat there is out there.
Sorry,
DeSclafani looked great. DeSclafani looked great. I'd keep riding him. And we've harped on Michael Taylor all show. Go pick him up. He's phenomenal for the next month.
I do still feel good about DeSclafani, and I thank you for letting me pick him up because, he should have been on my radar.
Did you pick him up?
I may or may not have there. Thank you so much, Chris Welter.
All right, well, you can split your winnings with me, all right?
This is the most important thing we can do for our listeners. We are tracking Chris Welter's fantasy baseball picks. not his sleeping habits.
Yeah, we got a couple new pitchers. We've talked about Clay Buchholz, so I won't go into him too much, but he is facing the Baltimore Orioles this upcoming week. Now, again, we're talking on Saturday. He does pitch tomorrow on Sunday, but he faces the Orioles later in the week, and he's only 67% owned, so go get him. Another pitcher I really like is Zach McAllister. He struggled a little bit in his first outing, but he found some new velocity last season and then in this offseason, and he continued to show that velocity in his first start last week. He is another guy you want to go pick up, even if you stream. He's at Minnesota on April 17th, so it's not that great of a lineup. Minnesota's a great ballpark, and again, I think McAllister is due for a breakout season, so go pick up McAllister. I do like Wade Miley this week, or not this week, but unfortunately he's against the Nationals. So keep Wade Miley on your radar, but maybe not a play for this upcoming week. My hitter this week is Kevin Kiermaier. He has been batting leadoff for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays and looks phenomenal. He has two home runs already this season. Obviously, batting leadoff, you're going to get a lot of runs. And then he's actually playing in Toronto for four games this week. That is a home run haven for hitters. So go pick up Kevin Kiermaier as a nice play this week.
All right. Thank you, Chris. That's some interesting information, and we will definitely be picking those guys up before you can.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's another episode of Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Chris Welter, thank you for spending some time with us, even though you're out in Colorado taking in the small breweries. Any last thoughts?
No, I'm happy to be back in studio next week, but I'll keep scouting these Rockies because they look hot, and I will definitely be scouting all of the microbreweries.
And say hello to the Big Dick swinging hard out there, okay?
Yeah, I won't get too close. I don't get too close to the Big Dicks, but I'll keep an eye on it.
All right, Fantasy Baseball Weekly, thank you once again for joining us. Next week, we'll talk more, give you some more Tracking Chris. We'll analyze the week two of fantasy baseball in terms of how it compares to what we thought this week. It'll probably be completely different because that's what's fun about baseball. Some people get hot, some people get cold. For Chris Welter, I'm Ben Korn. Thank you so much for shipping up to Boston. I'm a sailor!